Okay. The reason we do this is we have posted on Toolbox, Brownfield's Toolbox, all of the recordings and all the post-session notes. So for any of you who may want to look at the archive, it's brownfields-toolbox.org. And you'll see some other links there. We always start out with GLO from news. Well, let me tell you about HMTRI just for some of the new people that this may be the first call they're on. We have a cooperative agreement with EPA to support communities, to help them develop job training programs if they think it would be appropriate in their community. And then for those communities that do get job training programs, our job is to help facilitate their programs and anything we can do to help them. And we are not EPA, and we don't speak for EPA. We have had a lot of experience. We've been with these programs since they started. Actually, before they started, we were doing some work with EPA to help organize them. So we've been in the environmental workforce development job training business a long time. We have the advantage of seeing all of the programs, so we can basically work as a gadfly to connect one program. What works, for example, what works in Clover Park, or what works in Detroit, or what works in different Florida state. And we could kind of, we try to bring all these things together in an annual meeting and in these professional learning communities so that you might hear about these things, you might be able to connect with some of these people, you might be able to get some new ideas or different ideas, whether you're a prospective grantee submitting a grant or a very experienced grantee. Did someone just join?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's Debbie Wiesen. I apologize for getting on late.
That's okay. Where are you from, Debbie?
In Boston, New England Center
Boston.
For Homeless Veterans.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the PLC. That's okay to interrupt. We encourage that. So so we can't speak policy, but we're familiar with this program and have seen very successful programs and programs that haven't been so successful. So I want to put that caveat on. And with that, I'm going to we always have news from Washington. So GLO, have you heard anything this week from Joe or from Washington about the RFP coming out?
I did. In fact, I talked to Joe yesterday. He's hoping that the RFP is issued this week. He didn't say that the deadline, because I know the original deadline was going to be January 15th, and he had mentioned earlier that if the issue date is released for is delayed for the RFP to be released, that it would probably also delay the deadline. So the date, he tells me, is still to be announced, but he is still hoping that the RFP is issued yet this week. So as soon as that happens, he will let me know, and I will immediately put that out on the listserv so everybody knows about it.
Good.
So hopefully that will happen. The other thing is that tomorrow is their second outreach webinar for prospective applicants, and that will be anybody that is going to be submitting a proposal for this year's funding. I would encourage you to be a part of this webinar. It is from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's a webinar, so the link is epa.connectsolutions, all one word, .com/EWDJT2014. Now, I was on the first one, and the audio, if you want to be part of the audio and the visual, you have to go to this link, and you also have to call in on the phone number. The phone number that you call is 866-299-3188, and the conference code is 202-566-2772, and then the pound symbol. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is that the PowerPoint that Joe uses on this webinar is not available for download on the webinar itself, but we do have it on the Brownfields Toolbox, and Mike just gave that web address. It's brownfields-toolbox.org, and if you go to that link, at the very, very top of the homepage is a statement, and you can download their PowerPoint there. And that's it for me, Mike.
Good. That webinar tomorrow is really good. If you haven't been to one, you may want to go to that. Did someone just join?
Yeah, this is Lauren Brown from Auberly.
Okay, good. It would be good for you to go to this webinar. They basically have almost 100 PowerPoints, and they go PowerPoint by PowerPoint and basically will explain the RFP. Now, the actual RFP may be a little different, but it'll be pretty close. And Kathleen and Joe do a great job in basically going through it. And you'll want to get on the phone and also the web. And then I would really suggest you may want to download the PDF that GLOW puts up on the Brownfields Toolbox. That's something you can do until the RFP comes out, at which point you'll want to move over to the RFP. In terms of other announcements, and we're going to get back to this RFP in a moment, but December 4th, of course, is the webinar. Call in and use the web. Another thing is the Brownfields 2015, which seems awfully early now, but they really start early in their planning. They have a call for ideas out, anyone who may want to present. The deadline was extended to December 8th, which is just next week. We did submit a group session for all of our grantees. We're hoping to have a roundtable if they accept it, a room where anyone interested in starting a program or has a program, we're hoping to get everyone in the room and give everyone a chance to talk about their program. So we're thinking of that, and we're HMTRI will also have a booth. And at that booth, when we get closer, we'll encourage you to bring any materials you have, and we'll put it out on the booth that we're going to have there. So in the notes that we send, we'll put some announcements about potential networking opportunities and grant opportunities. You should be all getting the notes. If you don't, we send out notices two ways, one on our listserv, and some of you may get two announcements every week, Monday and Wednesday. We send a broader announcement on our listserv, but we also have a PLC list, and those are the people that get the post-session notes. And if you're getting only an announcement and you're not getting post-session notes, you could just email me your contact information, and that would be msenew@aol.com. So that's msenew@aol.com. And we'll have you on our participant list for the PLC, and you'll get the post-session notes. As GLOW said, you could always get these at the brownfields-toolbox.org site also. Well, this is the beginning of a new cycle. We do these cycles of 10 calls every other week, same time, same place, same phone number, and they're open discussions. And I have to apologize a little bit. We're going to try to make these open as possible and use our mentors. But this cycle, in the last cycle, we were using presentations from our best grantees, and we've got many more to go, which we'll continue with after the new year. But between now and when the RFPs are due, we thought we would focus on those critical issues that make good job training programs. And for those of you who are thinking of setting up a job training program, or if you're a grantee and you may be going for a re-up, or you're a grantee and you just want to kind of fine-tune your program just as a reinforcement of the good work you're already doing, you may want to tune in and also help us guide along on some of these things at work. What we're planning on doing is today we're going to talk primarily about what you should be doing now. And these are the early stages that could critically impact your program. As we progress into this cycle, we're going to talk about more specific issues, things about leveraging labor market assessment, recruitment, and student services. Those of you who are current grantees know about these things from our annual meeting, which we talk about, and we're going to talk about what people do in these specific things. I think what's important for those of you thinking of writing a grant or just tuning up your grant, what we're going to be talking about in this cycle, coincidentally, will be exactly the things you need to know to write a good proposal in terms of the ranking criteria. And for those of you who are not familiar with how these RFPs work, they will issue the RFP, and at that point, EPA pretty much goes silent. You really can't talk to your regional coordinator. And one of the first things I'm going to talk about of things you should do now is contact your regional coordinator if you're either going to do a re-up or you're going to thinking of doing a proposal. It doesn't commit you. Just call them up and say, you know, this is who we are. I just wanted to let you know we've been on the PLC and they suggest we touch base with you. They really like to know who in our region may be submitting. And in our post-session notes, we'll have everyone's contact information, phone number, and email. And just let them know, whether it's by phone or by email, that this is who you are and you're thinking of submitting a proposal. If you want to be a little more aggressive and talk to them in person, up until when the RFP is issued, they could talk to you very specifically about your community and your proposal. When the RFP comes out, they go silent. They can't talk any more to you about your proposal. They could clarify questions about the RFP, but that's it. So it's important, and we emphasize contact your regional coordinator. Just let them know you're thinking about a proposal. It's no commitment, and it's not going to – it'll positively impact you rather than negatively, because your regional coordinators don't grade your ranking criteria, but they're going to see your grant proposal, and they're going to check it over initially to make sure you qualify that first part of the proposal, and they have to recuse themselves from your evaluation because they're in your region. But just the fact that they know who you are, it's a really good thing to do. So one of the first things you want to do is contact your regional coordinator. As I said, by next week, you won't really be able to talk specifically about your particular community or your proposal. And the way these RFPs come out, they come out on grants.gov, and later we're going to be talking about grants.gov in a different session. But they'll come out on that, and you'll see the RFP. And at that point, you've got to make sure you qualify. And it's fairly simple to qualify, and they'll go over that tomorrow, so I'm not going to get into that. But after you do the qualification, that you go on to the next step. And these are the ranking criteria. And these are going to be the things we're going to be talking about, not specifically how to respond to each ranking criteria, but things that I think will help you in responding to those things like the anticipated outcome. EPA needs a very subjective, a very objective way of evaluating these proposals. So they have ranking criteria, and they assign points for each of these, and then within each category, they ask you very specific questions. And the whole idea is you're supposed to answer these questions, and based on your answers, they're going to assign you a score, and then the highest score points will go into a short list, and that list will then be evaluated down by the people at EPA to the people who will be funded. I think, unfortunately, like all grant programs, there are these proposals get to be so good, and the programs get better and better each year, that you almost have to, you don't need a pretty much a perfect score, but Joe will talk about tomorrow. There's I call it point creep, where some of the best and the funded and the non-funded proposals are just a few points away. So I wish there was a bigger spread between, you know, more like a curve when we were in school, where there's definitely those who are really much better than everyone else. But unfortunately, it seems to creep towards the top, and so that the points that are from those funded and those who are not is not that great a difference. So for this reason, it's really important to do a very focused job on these ranking criteria. And we're going to talk about some of these strategies that you may want to use, and we'll talk about those today. But one of the things, while this RFP is just being in the initial stages, that all of you really want to do is you want to do your broad-based assessments, and you want to pick your team. It's going to be very important, and this is going to be what will make you stand out amongst everyone else when you start writing your ranking criteria. You've got to do a scan of your community, a broad-based assessment of your community, and this, what this takes is your principals in your organization have to sit down in a room and start asking questions like, what is our competition? Who else in our community is doing environmental workforce development, or who is doing job training? Who are doing providing social services? You need to identify your target community. Again, these are broad brush strokes. If there's something else going on in the community, like an NIHS program or some other program, you want to make sure that your target community is different than theirs. You've got to find a unique community that you feel will be good for you in terms of recruitment and placement of your participants. You're going to have to start looking at a local scan of your employers. Are there employers in our community that are going to hire our people? And in past PLC sessions, the takeaway from many of our grantees has been, you've got to know your market. You've got to know the demand for your people. And that goes back to your employers. You've got to work with your employers. So in these early days of planning, you really have to start looking at, who are your local employers? Do you have anyone who will be interested in hiring your students? And that's going to guide you in a whole lot of ways in terms of developing your curriculum and choosing your target group. If you do, you almost have to do all these as a jigsaw puzzle, because if you have an employer that, or two or three employers that really have a need for a certain type of person, you may need to alter your target group. For example, someone who's really gung-ho on working with either ex-offenders or veterans and ex-offenders, or people who are interested in working with women's groups. This may change the whole complexion of how you want to go about setting up your program. So it's really important to start contacting some employers. The other thing you have to do in these very early stages, before you lock down, this is what we're going to do, is you need to get in touch with your local government. And I'm saying these things now early because these all take time. And one of the first places you need to go is the mayor's office. And when I say the mayor's office, not necessarily walking into the mayor's office, but I'm talking about coming in through the Office of Economic or Community Development. And you can Google, find out who, there are some contacts or phone numbers for community services, or it might be community development or economic development. You need to find those phone numbers, and you also need to find out the offices of environmental health or health offices. And what you're trying to do is identify who locally in government may be interested in brownfields. And ideally, if you could find who's doing brownfields cleanup and remediation, whether it's perhaps they've already submitted a grant, you're in the right place. Because what you want to do is you want to dovetail onto a brownfields program that's already in existence. So, for example, if you start making some phone calls and, oh, yeah, you could call the, you talk to the receptionist and say, well, we have an economic development. We do have an office of brownfields. You want to get in touch with them and try to make an appointment, certainly call them. And you want to find out, and on all these programs, what you want to do is qualify. We are thinking of sending a proposal to EPA to set up a job training program. Do you think there may be interest in our community to set up a job training program? And their ears may light up. They may refer you to someone else. It may go right to the mayor in a smaller town. And they may say, yes, we really want to do this. And when you hear those words, then you want to set up a meeting. How can we link job training to ongoing brownfields programs? And many of these communities may already have a cleanup grant from EPA, an assessment grant from EPA, a revolving loan fund from EPA, or underground storage tank, or a planning grant. These are all grants that many communities already have. And if you could find out who they are, and you need to go see them or talk to them and say, we're thinking. I always say we're thinking because you may want to back out of this thing at the last moment, and that's fine. You may not be ready, or you may want to pursue it at a future date. We're thinking of we're developing a team, and we're exploring the idea of setting up a job training program. Is there any interest? And they say yes. They may say not only yes, they may even say we'd like to be the fiscal aid. They may say, this is what we're doing, and this is who the fiscal agent is. And I'll get to that in a second. So you definitely, again, and you probably see why I'm talking about these broad issues, because these things take time, and one meeting in the mayor's office may change the whole plan that you're going to be doing, may change all your key partners and everything. So definitely go there. As this develops, you're going to want to touch base with city council, and that'll come after you've talked to the local mayor's office people. At some point, if you get more serious about this, you're going to want to go to city council, and you're going to also announce your intentions to you're considering submitting a job training program. And the reason I say this is you want to document everything you do, because you're going to use this in your proposal. And these are going to be the things that are going to set your proposal. You're 93 versus they're 92. This is going to give you the higher score. We're talking about a few points between those who are going to get funded and those who aren't. So these are the kind of things that are going to make your, they've already linked to the Brownfields program. They've already had an announcement in city council that they're proposing this program, where the next guy hasn't done any of these things. So it's going to give you the points on multiple of these categories. Later date, we're going to talk about how you may want to incorporate these in the ranking criteria, like community and employer partnerships and those kind of things. But these things take time, and you got to start now. You've got to find out who is applying for these assessment cleanup grants, and you definitely want to link with them. So after we've done this very basic groundwork, we want to start talking about seeking out our partners. And you're going to see, you're going to have two kinds of partners, maybe three. You're going to have key partners, and these are the major people that are going to help you write your grant. And then you're going to have ancillary or additional partners. Those key partners are going to be the ones that you're going to be sitting in a room, and they're going to be helping you write this proposal. And that key partner list may shift depending on who's got capability, because if you could find someone who's already submitted grants to EPA on grants.gov, you may decide that you want them to be the fiscal agent. It really doesn't matter who's fiscal agent. They're responsible. But in a sense, we've got grantees out there, out in Washington, we've got the WIB and the city government being a fiscal agent, but we've got most of the work being done in the community college. So we have, and that works really well. And you may decide to put the person that has the best grant writers in charge of that, and then those people supporting them would give them all kinds of technical information and support. When we talk about how you might go around writing this grant up, it'll be a participatory event, and we'll probably be talking about that on the 17th and how you might go about doing that. But you want the community nonprofits. Where do they fit in as key partners? The city and county government. You need a trainer, so you're going to have some sort of, whether it's a community college or a consultant in on this group. You're going to need someone who's going to supply support services and retention services and recruitment services. So that means who else but better than a WIB? Now, you may have your own internal people who can do this, but for many people, a trainer would be a community college or university or a consultant, or maybe a government agency like a fire department or a hazmat team. So they're a key partner. You need recruitment, placement, and student support. What better place than a WIB? They can provide recruitment and placement services. They could provide student support services. They could provide leverage funding. So you definitely want to look at them. And they may be the fiscal agent because they're very familiar with government grants and supplying government support. Someone who could provide the life skills and unsupported training from EPA. And that gets back to perhaps the WIBs. So you're looking at these very key partners, and they're going to have to be in on the grant writing. So, and they're going to have to be in on the commitments, what they're going to provide you, what they can do. Then you're going to have a whole list of additional partners who are going to want to be involved. You may want to have a meeting with them. You're going to certainly have to know what you're doing. And these are not only local brownfield projects, but local veterans programs, the local housing authority, if you're going to be involved in lead and asbestos, other academic institutions that may not be the prime trainers, but they're or environmental consultants, they're going to provide in-kind assistance. There might be organized labor in your community, mostly urban areas, that you're going to want to have at the table. There might be some tribal organizations, or certainly there'll be religious organizations that are associated with the community that you decide to target. There'll be first responders. There may be sanitary districts if you're getting involved in water, utility or highway departments, health and human services, and certainly local and national employers. So these, as you probably see, you've got this gigantic jigsaw puzzle, but how you choose these are going to change not only the total organization of how you're going to submit this proposal, but it's also going to provide you all the information, because each of these groups is going to be able to contribute in writing your proposal. When you start talking about 23 points for, or 24 points for programmatic capability, if you've chosen your partners right, you've got it. You've got the performance, you've got the experience, you've got the grant management, you've got 24 points. If you choose your employer community and your WIBs properly, you can ace the community and employment portion of this, where these partners are on board. So if you have not chosen properly, you're going to get into this RFP and you're going to get snowed, because you're going to find out we just don't have this depth. We have not done this before. And when you read this RFP, you might say, well, if you haven't gotten a grant, how do you have this experience? How can I put down this experience? Well, the thing is, you've got to partner with someone who's already done this. And so this is why you have to do that now. I'm going to kind of lean on some of the mentors out there. Could you all add something out there in Clover Park? You guys have done such a good job of partnering. Could you tell us how your experience was when you decided to link up with the Workforce Investment Board?
Well, our experience out here was very good. We have a pretty good relationship with our board, which I know some counties don't always have. And our board is very much in tune with desire to provide workforce training for unemployed individuals in the area so that they can go out and get better jobs. So they were on board with it from the get-go. And we also partner with them on a lot of other things at the college. And then also City of Tacoma, who is our fiscal manager, is very involved with them in a lot of different roles. So I don't know that our experience with them is really the norm, because we've always had such a close relationship with them on a lot of different projects and things like that. But it's been a really good partnership. I mean, they provide a lot of services to eligible students of ours that they wouldn't get otherwise, like work clothing and they will even fund additional education and training if the person has a job they can get. If they need a little bit more training than we provide in our program, they'll send them on and get that extra training for them. So
So you were able to go to the city of Tacoma and say, we'd like you to be fiscal agent, or did they come to you?
Tacoma instituted the whole thing and brought the college in as a partner and brought our Workforce Investment Board in as a partner. But we had all had a lot of experience working together on other things in the past. So we already had that really strong bond.
Yeah. And in your case, you're pretty much running the show, but they have the experience. And when you write your grant, you brought all this experience into this grant proposal.
Well, the college has a number of DOL grants and has had in the past, so we're pretty experienced with dealing with federal grants. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Ann, how about what's your experience at Memphis? Okay, I'm not sure if Ann's still with us. How about Pam at Florida State? How did you all focus on this? Okay. Well, I tried to draw you into the conversation. Anyway, it's important that you look at this early on, and you try to choose these partners. And I don't think it matters greatly who's fiscal agent. Certainly, those people who have capabilities in certain areas are going to be taking care of those things. And so the mistake might be to feel that you have to control everything and then you can't bring the experience in. Now, we have many grantees that have all of this in-house. We've got everything, particularly those who already have Department of Labor programs. They may have a youth bill program, and they're very familiar with all of these things, and they have everything I just talked about, they have in-house. And those programs have been very successful. In other words, they have a youth bill already in place. They've submitted Department of Labor grants. They've used grants.gov. They have their own recruitment system. They have their own life support, life skills support. So they didn't have to do what I just explained because it's all there. And I'm not saying that isn't perfect. It works if you have all that capability in-house. I'm addressing those who may find that they don't have all that capability or particularly if they're starting from scratch. So anyone have any, just on this portion of this, what should we be doing now? excuse me. And we'll be talking about specifics on the 17th and later. Anyone else have any questions or anything that you think we missed in this discussion? Anything anyone would like to say? Okay. Well, that's fine. What we're going to be doing is on the 17th, we're going to start to drill down on some of these issues of finding partners and how we might address the issues that make a better program and also are consistent with the ranking criteria in the RFP. And with that, I would strongly suggest that everyone take those 2 hours tomorrow and listen to Joe's presentation and Kathleen's presentation, and it'll give you a good head start on what to expect when this RFP is issued. So, well, we try to keep these down to 30 minutes, so it isn't too much of your day. And we'll be sending out post-session notes in about a day when we put all these things together in form. And if you have any questions, you could certainly email us. And hopefully we'll see you all in a couple of weeks. So you all have a good 2 weeks. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.